Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. And dear God, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we just ask you, as we open our Bibles this morning, that you would be with us, Father, to not only to study thy word, to show ourselves, oh God, that we are convinced and then we are concerned, but Lord, that we truly have your word written in our hearts. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just remain standing, and we're going to read from Acts 13:48 for our text this morning. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Let's bow our heads one more time in prayer. Gracious Father, we just come before you this morning, knowing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, Father, we know that you are the Word. And we also know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and therefore we know that you cannot change. Therefore, Father, help us this morning to look at your Holy Word that you gave to us, this Bible, and to line them up with what your prophet came to teach us, that we might have a better understanding of what you have for us in this hour, and that we might come into your presence, the blinding light of truth. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to look at the Word of God and how God hides His Word in human veil, and that veil is actually what blinds the Word and hides it from some, but that same veil actually helps others to see that Word and helps to reveal that same Word that blinded the others. Now, remember, it's the same veil, same Word, blinded to some, manifested to others. So we're looking at the dichotomy of sorts, because the same word hidden by the same veil actually causes two extremely different reactions to take place. It is the same principle that is in play when the sun hardens the clay and yet it melts the snow and it melts the ice. The Word of God tells us also that the same rain that falls on the wheat and helps to manifest the wheat life that's in the wheat, that same rain falls on the tares as well, and it helps to manifest the life that's in those tares. It's the same rain, the same doctrine, Deuteronomy 32, my word shall fall as a doctrine, God says. Therefore this morning, my word shall fall as the rain. Therefore this morning, we're going to look at this twofold purpose of the veil that God uses to hide his word. The first purpose being to blind or to hide the word from those it's not meant for. And the second full purpose is for that veil actually helps to reveal the same word to those that word was sent to. And yet it's the same veil that does both. Now remember, the veil hides, but it also manifests. All right? We're going to find this in Scripture now. Now, let's see what Brother Branham had to say about this as we continue from the unveiling of God. We're going to pick up at paragraph 109 where he says, notice now, so it can be manifested, the Word had a veil over it. Notice, so that it could be manifested, the Word had a veil over it all these years to the people. It can't be done. They say it can't be done. You remember the sermon I preached this morning when I left here, the first time, about Goliath and David? I said, now look at the challenger out there saying the days of miracles is past. Watch them taste as they come down. Watch each one, how it comes in more plainer and plainer if you have ears to hear. In other words, Brother Bradford said, look, each sermon, I'm not putting it all in one sermon. I'm putting out a little here, putting out a little there. It gets more plainer and plainer and plainer and plainer and plainer. You see? Now, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, watch. Now, I said there stands that great ecclesiastical world out there saying, the scientific age, that it cannot be done. But I say, God in that light, remember, he's in the light, he's not the light, he's in the light, for it was ever taken but once. Never was taken then, down on the river there. They never took the picture of it, see? I said, he told me that it would be done. He would make a call and it'd sweep the nation. But even to Dr. Davis said, well, you with a grammar school education passed into the seventh grade will be praying for kings and monarchs. We'll start a revival that'll sweep the nations. And I said, that's what he said. And you know what? It's been done. See? Sure, but it's been done. That's the thing of it is, he don't need no interpretation. He's done it. See? He's already done it. That interprets itself. See? Calling his elected, see? From all walks of life, now it's made manifest, see? Now notice he tells us the word had a veil over it all these years to the people. And then he quotes people saying, well, it can't be done. Why? Because they're blinded to the word. And what blinds them? The veil that God chooses to hide his word in. Then Brother Bam begins to speak about Goliath and how he was blinded to this little veil that God hid his word in for that hour. And he was speaking of David, God's anointed. You see, God had already anointed David to be king in 1 Samuel 16. And then in 1 Samuel 17, the next chapter, we begin to hear about Goliath harassing the army of Israel. Immediately after God had finished the anointing process and, Samuel had gone and he anointed David to be king, then God introduces Goliath on the scene to test. All right? Put the word to a manifestation. God anointed it, now God's going to manifest what's behind the veil. We begin to hear about Goliath harassing the army of Israel. So before this could happen, God had already set the stage for the enemy to be conquered by anointing a servant and hiding his word in David's heart. In fact, in the Psalms, David tells us that's exactly what God did in Psalm 119:11, where he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." In fact, I would like to just at this time read that entire thought that David has here because it's just tremendous. And if you and I each have that same desire in our heart, then we're going to be men like David who are men after God's own heart. All right? Notice verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Remember that word law is the word Torah. It means the Father's instruction. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You know, not 90%, not, 8%, not 10%, not just once a week. They seek him with their whole heart. They also do not iniquity. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that thy ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy Torah, out of thy fatherly instruction. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. It's all word, 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 word. And it's in my heart, he says. So David, as a young boy, he studied the word of God. The Torah, the fatherly instruction, the thoughts of God, and God's ways of doing what he does. He did not study as a theologian would study, but as one who found beauty and joy and hope for the life that God had placed in his word. David took comfort and delight in the word of the Lord. So David had chosen to hide God's word in his own heart. And God chose David to hide his word in his veil of flesh, that the veil itself might hide his word from some, but reveal his word to others. So God used the same veil in a dichotomy of actions. That same veil God used blinded the word that was hid within it to some, while that same veil was also used by God to reveal or to manifest that same word of life to others. And it was God who used that same veil to do both, to blind some to his word while revealing his word to others. That's why two people can look at the prophet of God, William Branham, and one can say, well, I see God working through a man. And others can say, well, I just see a man. You know, and yeah, there's miracles and this and that, but, you know, he didn't get all his facts straight and this and that, you know, and his education wasn't so great and all that stuff. The veil hides, but the veil also reveals. Now, I hope you follow what Brother Graham just said here, because most people think of Saul as being the first king of Israel. Notice he says, Saul looked at him, the head of the ministerial association. He said, why? You're not even trained. And if you caught what he said, Brother Branham called Saul the head of the ministerial association. Now, I guarantee 99.999% of all the ministers in the world would not catch that. They say, not just a minute. He wasn't the head of no ministerial association. He was a king. He was anointed the king. They don't read their Bibles. You can look at his physical shape and think that he was head and shoulders above others, but he was also that way spiritually as well. He was the man. He was the preacher who stood out above all other preachers. Let's go to 1 Samuel 19, verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to David. When they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and when Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. And they also prophesied. So Saul is sending out messengers who prophesied. And he does it once. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Okay, he's over this group. They prophesy. Over this group, they prophesy. He sends them. Didn't say God sent them. And he sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to the great well that is in Seku, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner. Prophesied before the prophet of the hour. And lay down naked all day and all night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Brother Branham saw this in Scripture. He said he was head of the Ecclesiastical Association. He sent out this group, they prophesied, this group, they prophesied. Prophesied means preach. They prophesied, they preached, they preached, they preached, they preached. He sent out the preachers. Now, if you read carefully, you'll see that the Spirit of God was also upon Saul. And that Saul sent other prophets to prophesy, showing that he was their leader, or as Brother Branham put it, Saul was the head of the ministerial association. Everything that prophet taught us comes right from the Scriptures. It wasn't his idea. And when he looked at David, he looked at his peculiar veil that the word was hidden in, and didn't measure up to his standards for a preacher and a leader. So he wanted David to look like what he thought a minister of God and a leader should look like. After all, if this boy was to go out and take on the enemy of Israel, you know, he should look the part. Now back to Brother Branham as he described in the parable what actually took place between Saul and David. And he said, now let me see if I can give you a PhD or something. Put this armor on him. And he found out it didn't fit a man of God. He said, take the thing off of me. He said, I don't know about that. He said, let me go in the way that I know. What I fought the lion with. What I fought the bear with. He was kind of a woodsman. He said, now let me go on this way. And this old Goliath said, do you send a dog out to fight me? He said, I'll pick you on the end of my spear and hang your carcass up there and let the birds eat it. And David said, you meet me as a Philistine in an armor and a spear, and I meet you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Watch the prophet. David said, today I'll cut your head from your shoulders. Amen. Oh my. He knowed whom he had believed and was fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which he committed unto him. See? So it happened anyhow. The old saying, the days of miracles are past, the walls are torn down, Jehovah still stands in full view, manifesting the word, unveiled, the unveiled one. That's right. Brother, sister, he came down with this, a shout in this hour. The supreme judge is here. You know, we sing that song, maybe we can just sing it together. He said, from 2 Timothy, he says, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Yet, do we really understand what we're singing? And that we also veil the same word of God that the prophets veiled. In this hour, the bride of Christ has the same word living in her, the same manifestation coming from her as the prophets of the Old Testament did. That's why we're kings and priests, to be made that. Now back to Brother Branham, paragraph 111. Notice the Gentile church has also been blinded from the veil. After it's been tore off and showed God, the ecclesiastical veil, how? By veiling the word in human being again. That's exactly what Israel failed to see. See, what's he saying? They're blinded. How? By veiling the word in human being again. The veil blinds. That's why Brother Veil always told us, get your eyes off the veil and get your eyes on the God who is using the veil. And that's exactly what Israel failed to see. If it would have been some angel or something, Israel would have believed it. But it could not be an angel. It had to be a man. Amen. God can't break his word in the last days. It has to be the same thing. Again, see? What blinded Israel? That man. Your man making yourself God. That's what they killed him for. And today, because the message comes through a man and not angel, see? God can't change his ways, change his word. And he said he changed not. He changes not. See, notice Thomas and the Gentiles are just as blinded today as Israel was. Because what? The veil. God veiled in a human being, blinded Israel. Notice, as ever blinded one, it will blind the other, and it will reveal the truth. It'll close the eyes of some and open the eyes of the other. So what he's saying basically is, one, number one, it will blind some, and two, the others, it will reveal the truth. That's your two principles. That's why I said the twofold purpose of the veil is to blind some and reveal the word to others, to manifest the word to others. You see exactly what God's prophet taught us here. Notice the twofold purpose of the veil. He said, one, it will blind, and the other, that's two, it will reveal the truth. It closed the eyes of some and opened the eyes of others. Now, this is the main point I want you to see here this morning. God veiled in a human being, blinded Israel. And the same thing today, the human veil blinds the eyes of some while opening the eyes of others. So the question is, opens the eyes to what? It opens the eyes of some to the revealed word, because that is what the veil is hiding, it's the revealed word. It is the hidden word to some, hidden by the veil, yet that same veil manifesting the very word it's hiding becomes the manifested and revealed word to others. Now, let's just read the next paragraph, paragraph 112. Look, Jesus stood and said, well, your name is Simon and your father's name was Jonas. He said, Lord God. See, Philip, he said, how did you know? He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And he said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. He said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. But there stood those there that said, well, he's Beelzebub. See, what did it do? It opened one's eyes, but the same veil, it blinded the others. What did the priest say? Why, that guy's Beelzebub. Now notice what blinded some and opened the eyes of the others. It was the veil, the human veil, the veil that housed the living word. Now, that does not make the veil itself God. But the veil, the human life, is hiding the living word in his heart. And the people see that veil and they're looking for that God and they miss God because they see only the veil. You see, Brother Branham told us, he said, the body, the man, Jesus, was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. Because God is spirit. You can't get away from that. God is not a body, he's spirit. But in order to manifest himself, he had to use the body of his son. And people see that veil, and they're looking for God, and they miss God because they see only the veil. But God is the Word. Never forget that God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus told us, my words are spirit, and they're truth. But so many have missed the Word of God being revealed to them because of the veil that God has used to hide His Word. We see the same scene take place in the book of John where certain Greeks came to see Jesus. The scene takes place right after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the grave. So these men, being Greeks, came to see God. But when they saw Jesus, the man, they were blinded by the veil of His flesh. And that was the flesh that hid the mighty God from plain view. Now let's read this to ourselves. John 12 and 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, that's what the scripture said. A prophet of God says they came to see God. All right. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus. And Jesus answering them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Remember, glorified is endoxazo. It means in the zoe of the person will be the glory of God, or the opinions, the values, and the judgments of God magnified. All right. This is the hour that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. And if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered, and others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answering said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he says, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And when Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. How did he blind them? By the veil. By the veil. These sayings said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that and he that seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to the world to judge, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, that same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now see, the veil is saying this. The veil says, it's not me. But the Father told me what to say. I'm just saying what he said. I'm just doing what he chose me to do by vision. Now John tells us that although they had seen many miracles done by Jesus, yet many did not believe. And so Brother Brown tells us what happened to those Greeks who came to see God, but only saw the man Jesus in his sermon, Mighty God Unveiled. He said he never changed his nature, because Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was made flesh in order to die to redeem us from sin. That's why he changed himself to be a man. You see, in St. John 12 and 20, the Greeks had heard of him. Now, there's no man can ever hear of him except their heart burns to see him. Like Job and the prophets of old, they all wanted to see him. So this Greek came to him to see him. They came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And the Greeks wanted to see him, but they were unable to see him because he was in the temple of his humanity. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And they got stuck on the vessel, and therefore they didn't see the God they came to see. And yet Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father." Hides the word from some, reveals or manifests to others. As we read the account of this book in the book of John, we see that these things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What was the miracles? That was God manifesting. But they were stuck on the vessel, and therefore they didn't see the manifestation of God. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom his arm of the Lord revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." So they departed not being able to see God because of the veil that hid the invisible God who was spirit. Yet John quotes Isaiah, letting us know that God blinded their hearts and their understanding, that they could not understand the word that was living among them because of the veil. And yet that same veil opened the eyes to others. Now we've seen the same thing take place in this hour. Many who have left this message have done so because they were blinded by the veil that God used to hide his word from them. And that veil was his prophet, William Branham. These people say things against William Branham as though he was supposed to be God, but because he made mistakes and said some things wrong, like 700 instead of 7,000, and got some dates mixed up, that's the human part. And they looked at those mistakes, and in their mind, they could not believe that God could use a vessel that was not perfect. Like a lot of people, "Well, the pastor, he ain't perfect, so why should I go to church there?" Well, if you're looking for perfection, you won't see it till the other side of the resurrection. They still do that today, okay? Now, let's continue with paragraph 113. The little woman said, "I know Messiah is coming," which is called the Anointed One. See, the Anointed One will come. We haven't had prophets. He must be a prophet, but the Anointed One will come. We're looking for him. This is the day, last days for the Gentiles, or for the Jews. So this is the last day. See, both the Samaritan and the Jew were looking for a Messiah. See? Said, this is the time for him to appear. We know that when he comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell us these things. He said, "I am he." Her eyes were open, and the priest was blinded. That's what the gospel always does. It opens the eyes of some, reveals the truth to some, while it blinds the others. It has a twofold meaning, see, twofold purpose. Some can take the sun and look straight into it and go blind. Others can take it and walk out with it. That's the difference. In other words, some will try to examine the light of this hour with a fine-tooth comb. Others will just use that light. They'll walk in the light. As the Bible says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Just walk in the light. Lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. You know, I think sometimes, look, we're looking too much. This people in this message are looking too much for perfection. This side of the resurrection, it's not going to happen. You can go 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, or 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and maybe, you know, just not make any mistakes, but all of a sudden there's a mistake again. Oh, Lord, you know, why do I just keep making mistakes? Because you're in this body of this death. Paul said, "Who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ, who giveth me the victory." The victory is a gift. It's been given to you. It's not you going out and accomplishing something. It's God working in you, both to will and then to do. And you've got to will first, then you'll do. You see? But it's God got to bring both. All right? 114. As was done in every age, deity veiled in human flesh. Now notice, he did. The prophet was deity veiled. There was the Word of God. Remember, the Word is God. There was the Word of God. That's the deity. The Word of God, that's the God life. Because that's what deity is, God life. They was the Word of God, is that right, veiled in human flesh. So they didn't notice our Moses either, see? Jesus, now notice, veiled behind the old badger skins in the old temple was the Word. Was the Word manifested on tables of stone. So we're looking at the veil of God's choosing, which is always the man of God's choosing. And that veil, because it is imperfect itself, those who the Word was not sent to will look at the imperfection in the veil, and they will refuse the God life that is being manifested through the veil. I mean, when you look at the life of William Branham, you just saw a man completely surrendered to God. But if you want to just start looking for the warts, he says you're going to find them. If you want to start looking at the things, that, you know, the mistakes he made, like when he told his wife, tell the lawyer I'm outside, you know, then he had to go back and apologize. But you know what? He didn't hide his mistakes. He admitted it. Yeah, I make mistakes. Like in that movie, you know, about Martin Luther. He says, the devil gets on your back. He says, you know, you're this and you're that. He said, you know, you hide yourself. He said, no, just tell him, yep, you're right. But I've got a sacrifice for it. Oh, you're just a sinner. You're just doing it. Yeah, that's right. I'm a sinner, born of sin, shaped in iniquity. I come forth the world speaking lies. But you know what? I've got a sacrifice for that. You see? Hallelujah. Now, the veil itself does not blind them. That's the one thing I want to get across right now. But their perception of the veil is what blinds them. Just like the same rain that falls on the just and the unjust and waters both doesn't make one righteous and the other unrighteous. No, it is not the blame of the rain, but rather what seed they are to begin with. The people are already blind, therefore the veil helps to hide the word. That's it. The same rain that falls on the wheat also falls on the tares, yet it is not the rain that caused one to be a tare and the other to become a wheat. No, that's not it at all. The tares are already tares and the wheat are already wheat, but the same rain that falls on the tare, the same doctrine, that my God said, my doctrine shall fall as the rain, the same rain, the same doctrine that falls on the wheat and falls on the tares causes them to become what they were ordained to be. If you're ordained to be a righteous man, when the doctrine hits you, you become a righteous man. You manifest a seed in you, the seed of God, the Son of God's seed. And if you're not, it'll cause you to come against this message. It'll cause you to come against that. The tares are already tares and the wheat are already wheat, but the same rain that falls on the tare brings it to manifest tare life. While the same rain that falls on the wheat allows it to manifest wheat life that's already in it. So too we see the same principle at work in the veil. The veil does not cause one to see and cause the other not to see. No, they are already miserable, blind, and naked. And that is their condition. And because the veil is what God uses to hide His word from some, it is not the veil that hides, but the blindness of their heart is what actually hides the God life because of their own interpretation of what they are seeing in that veil. Brother Brown makes that very clear from Lean Not to Your Own Understanding. He says, For now, there stood others standing there who seen the same thing done and classed it as an evil spirit. That was the theologians because it wasn't in the taste of their theological teaching. And they turned it down because they learned to lean to their own understanding by their doctrine when Jesus Christ came in the fullness of the word of promise and they were too blind to see it. They leaned upon what the priest said and upon what the church said instead of upon what God said. Now, Jesus rebuked them for it. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you claim that you have everlasting life, and they are they that testify of me. These scriptures that I'm asking you to search, they tell you who I am. But they wouldn't lean to what the word said, but they leaned to their own understanding, what their own understanding was. They leaned to their own understanding, and the scripture tells us that they were veiled. The veil of their own theology had them blinded. Never forget, as a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. Now, I'd like for one of the young guys in here, someone who's strong, to come up here for just a minute. Brother, would you come up? I just want to use you as a guinea pig. Yeah, just come up here. I want you to try something, okay? Now,
Okay, stand here like this. Put your head against the wall. Take two steps out. Okay? Like that. Okay? Do that. Okay, now try to stand up without using your hands.
No hands?
No hands.
Just try to stand up.
On the phone. Okay.
Why can't you stand up?
Okay.
Why can't you? You know why? Because you're leaning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the direction you lean is the way you're going to fall. In other words, if you're leaning this way, you're not going to fall back this way. Right?
Yeah.
So if your mind is leaning toward your own doctrine, you won't catch God's doctrine. You won't go His way. You go with your own doctrine. This is what's happening in the message. Many places, they got their own minds made up. They think the Word of God that was brought by Brother Branham is a certain thing. And so they lean into that, and then when you try to show them the truth, they're leaning so much that they just can't upright themselves.
Yeah.
You see?
Amen.
Okay. So I just want to use that illustration because it helped me to understand. You know, I did that once years ago. I chose a kid in the church down in Arkansas that was big and strong, you know, muscular, and he thought, you know, he was really something. He was a football player or something. And so I had him do it. He couldn't do it. But that's just the thing. If you're going to lean in a certain direction, whether it's a doctrine, a church principle, or a church whatever, and God's Word comes along and shows you different, and you can't take the correction because you're leaning. You've got to stop leaning first. Then you can turn around. See, repentance, you know, is a change of your, it's a change of the mind. And you've got to change the mind first before you can about face and go in the other direction. Okay? So, that's what he said, as a tree leaneth, so shall I fall. And so we are warned to be ever so careful how we approach the Word of God. Paul said he had to lay everything that he thought that he had known aside when he had come face to face with the pillar of fire. Paul said, I forgot everything that I ever knew. Paul was a theologian. And so must we forget everything we know and think we understand, even our approach to the Word of God itself in the light of God's vindicated Word. Furthermore, even Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my own Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. In other words, he said, I only speak what I understand my Father to have said. But you do that which you understand from your Father. And you know what he's talking about? Is a principle of train up a child in the way he'll go, and when he gets old, he will not depart. It's so important. Jesus warned us in Mark 24 about being careful how you hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, shall him be taken, which he even thinks he has. To paraphrase his words, so that you might understand better, we see Mark, Jesus says, take heed how you hear, for with what measuring instrument you use to portion it out, it will come back to your understanding through the same measuring instrument. If you're looking at this Bible with a Baptist filter, it's going to come back to you as a Baptist Bible. If you're looking at this Bible with a Pentecostal filter over your mind, it's going to be to you a Pentecostal Bible. You see? And you're going to miss the things that God has for you that are not Pentecostal or not Baptist. Same with Methodist, whatever. As a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. Therefore, we are warned to be careful how we approach the Word of God. Paul said he had to forget everything he knew when he came face to face with the pillar of fire. And we are no different. We must forget everything we think that we knew in the light of what God's vindicated prophet has taught us. Here was Paul doing God a service, he thought, but it wasn't God's will. And he was out persecuting the Christians. And finally, God says, I've had enough, okay, Paul? And he meets Paul, that pillar of fire, blinds Paul. So Paul realizes, hey, I'm blind. Now, why did God do something else to him? Why didn't he take his hearing from him? God wanted him to know, Paul, you're blind. You're blind. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Wow. He's shown me my real condition is blindness. You see? All right. So just think of the tree that is leaning in a certain direction, because that is the only way the tree can fall. And so we're warned to be ever so careful how we approach the Word of God. So must we forget everything we ever knew and thought that we understood, even our approach to the Word itself in the light of a vindicated prophet of God. Now, what I'm trying to establish here is that you see and hear with your mind. And as we read in Mark 4:24, we are taught that we must be very careful and we must take heed how we hear, because the measure we use to measure out the word that we hear is the only thing that we will hear. As a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. If our minds are already made up, then what we hear will be filtered by what we want to hear. If our minds are not open, we will never come to the knowledge of the truth. From Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up your child in the way that he should go, that when he is old, he may not depart. And so a child will always revert back to the way he or she was instructed, trained. Therefore, either you train them to follow God's word, or the devil will use others to train them to follow after their own thinking. And as the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. So what the Bible tells you is either you indoctrinate your children to the Word of God, or the devil will use the school system to indoctrinate them to the ways of the devil. Take your pick. Now people here, they're going to hear this and they're going to say, you know, unbelievers will say, well, he's talking about indoctrinating your children. That's right. Absolutely right. Because if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it for you. And that's what the schools want to do. Training little children 2-3 years old that, you know, that there isn't two genders, that there's a multiplicity. You just take a pick. If you want to be a butterfly, here, give me a butterfly. They're teaching insanity. They are teaching insanity.
Yeah.
You have to indoctrinate your children. Indoctrinate. Brainwash. That's right. Brainwash. Wash your brain by the washing of water by the word. Because if you don't brainwash them, they're going to use acid, the acid of malice and all that other stuff to brainwash your children. And I've seen parents just leave their children clueless as to the ways of God, and they say, well, if they are elect, they will turn to God. Years ago, I had a sister come to me. She was 20-some years old, and she said, you know, the only thing I ever learned about God and about this message was when I came to church here. My parents never talked about it. Really? Really? A deacon in the church? And the parents never talked about the word? She didn't learn anything but what she came to church and learned. When those parents should have been putting on tapes every day for those children to listen to the voice of God. To me, that's a very sad personification of a parent. A real parent will brainwash your children with the mind of God. Yes, I mean that. Wash their brains from everything that is not godly and place that Word of God before them day and night until it sticks so much in their little brains that all their thoughts will be God's thoughts. Then you'll see people raise up like Malachi and like Martin and Columba. So some liberal joker will come along and say you're brainwashing your children. Well, just answer them. That's right. We are brainwashing their little brains by the washing of water by the word. But you want to brainwash them to your theology, to your un-theology, or to your anti-Christian values. They're my children. They're my heritage. They're not yours. We already read this morning that David said in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. So if you don't do it, no one else will. The liberal education system thinks it's got a right for them to indoctrinate your children, but it's wrong for you to do so. That's pure insanity. Your children are your heritage. They're not theirs. Therefore, the filter we must have, the measuring stick we must have, must be based upon what God said and not what man says.
Yeah.
Notice that at each exodus, what has happened to the people? They wanted to go back. They had it set in their minds that they wanted what they wanted, and they did not want to move forward with God. In Moses' day, they wanted to go back to Egypt, which is a type of Pentecostal church, which is its garlics and leeks. And that's what the people were used to, so that is what they wanted to return to. See, that's what they were raised up under. Therefore, train them up the way they go. When they get old, they'll not depart. Well, you know what?
They wanted the garlics at least because that's what they were raised on.
You try giving garlics and leeks to somebody that's never ate them before.
They're not going to be craving garlics and leeks. Now, in Paul's day, they wanted to go back into the law, which was legalism. The scripture tells us, train up your child in the way they go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. It also tells us the way a tree leaneth, that is the way it's going to fall. Therefore, if your mind is already made up as to what you believe, you will not go forward. In fact, every decision we make, we base upon the fact that we already have in our knowledge bank of our mind. Therefore, all of our decisions must go back to the way that you were trained, unless you have willfully repented of that training. That's what Mark 4:24 is all about. Take heed how you hear. For with what measuring stick you measure with, it shall be measured back to you again. In other words, you will get what you're looking for. And that is what we're looking at when we see that the veil God uses is not what blinds them, nor is it what causes the revelation. It blinds to those who are already blind. Remember Revelation 13, the hour that we live in, they're blind, miserable, naked. Matthew 13:10 says, and the disciple came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? All right, stories. He answered unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, in Mark, the same story said, he says, to them that are on the outside, it's not given for them to know. For whosoever hath, that word is echo, hath is echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, echoes not, from him shall, that means whosoever does not say the same thing in the same way. Okay, it's going to be taken from him. All right? So therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. You see, they are blind to it. It is hidden from their understanding. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Huh? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the message, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now I hear people say all the time, well, you know, Brother Bram said, well, you don't have to understand it, you just have to believe it. He also said you have to understand it if you have the Holy Ghost. He said you will understand it if you have the Holy Ghost. I can show you quotes and quotes and quotes where he said that. And I'm going to show you what Paul says. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the message, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in their heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy he receives it, yet hath he no root in himself. The word has no place in his heart, like Jesus told the Pharisees. But he endures for a while, but for when time of tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and, notice, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 30, some 60. You see, if Noah didn't understand the message for his hour, he would never have built the ark. But his building the ark showed that he believed the message, he had heard it, and he recognized it, and he acted upon it. You see? Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that it takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost for you to understand the word. It is hid to all others except those with the Holy Ghost. That is why Brother Bram said it is not for them. This message is not for them. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And now, mystery is something that is hidden. Even the hidden wisdom, he says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, unto our opinions, values, and judgments, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So Paul says, look, the reason we get the Holy Ghost is to know the things that are given us of God. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, comparing the message, the spoken word, with the written word. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. It is impossible for someone who is born again to understand this message. If they're not born again, they won't have any clue. Now, they can look and see the miracles and say, well, God was with that man. But when it comes right down to understanding what he said, they won't teach the doctrine. They'll teach you about the man. They'll focus on the veil, but not the God that's using the veil. You see, the Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God, but the people saw God's actions, his acts. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. Now therefore the veil God uses, the man of his choosing, is simply a veil that God uses to hide his word from those that the word was not sent for. And it is just the vessel that God has chosen to manifest his word through, and thus allows those who have purged their minds to see plainly the unveiling of God, which is the unveiling of the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why when we looked at William Branham, we can see Malachi 4, we can see Revelation 10, we can see Luke 17, 30. That's why when we look out among us, we can see the sons of God that are manifesting as sons of God. We can see that they've been born again, and they're working their way toward being that adopted son. We see all these things that conforming to the image of the firstborn son. We see those things. But others can't. Oh, they're just religious, or they just gotta, you know, whatever. But the veil, God uses the veil for twofold purpose. It blinds many. But he also uses it to manifest his God life through that veil. And then we see God is on the scene. The brother Bell said, though, get your eyes off the veil and focus rather on the God that is using the veil. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Knowing that you are spirit, and they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. Yet, Father, you sent a veil to us in this hour, a man called William Branham. And we know that he was not you, he was not God, but he was simply a veil that you used to manifest God life to and through, so that we as your sons might see that and might reflect that same God life in us. And yet we see others will look at that veil and they criticize the veil for the mistakes of the human flesh of the veil. But Father, we don't look at those mistakes, but rather we see a greater thing. We see that veil was so surrendered to you that you did many mighty miracles using that veil. And so, Father, we're thankful for that. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, oh God, to step aside, that you might also use our human veils. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. That's number 6, verse 22.
The Lord bless thee and